The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issan.
And Dorian Ampofu.
In the headlines, President Mahama charges police service to bring perpetrators of murders to book to curb increasing wave. Religious leaders condemn violence in the name of religion. NCCE calls for active participation in district-level elections to entrench grassroots democracy. And Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe maintains he has no intention of retiring as he unveils plans for 91st birthday celebration. First, a summary by Doreen Ampofu.
President John Mahama has tasked the Ghana Police Service to speed up investigations into murder cases and bring perpetrators to book. He said the assassination of innocent persons is becoming too many and the impunity must stop. The president made the call when a delegation from Kwanta called to officially inform him of the death and burial of the murdered in Kwanta South District Chief Executive Peter Kenyensu. Religious leaders have condemned violence carried out in the name of religion. They have also called on the media to be cautious in their publications, adding that there must be structures to maintain peace within religions. The National Commission for Civic Education, NCCE, has expressed worry about the low participation in district assembly elections and called on Ghanaians to go out in their numbers to vote for their preferred candidate in the upcoming elections. The chairman of the NCCE, Mrs. Charlotte Osei, said this in Accra at the launch of the theme song of the commission for this year's district assembly and unit committee elections. And Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe, who plans to celebrate his 91st birthday in the resort town of Victoria Falls, has stated that he has no intention of retiring. His comments come as the ruling ZANU-PF party's youth league starts raising funds for the showdown.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. President John Mahama has tasked the police investigating various murder cases to speed up and bring the perpetrators to face the law. He said the assassination of innocent persons is becoming too many and the impunity must stop. President Mahama made the call when a delegation from Nkwanta called to officially inform him of the death and burial of the murdered Nkwanta South District Chief Executive Peter Kenyensu. The late DCE was shot by unknown assailants in his home in Nkwanta in November last year. Also at the seat of government was a delegation from the Peki traditional area to also inform government of the death and burial of their paramount chief, Togbiga Kwadwodei. A report by Pascaline Adadevo.
The Volta Regional Minister Helen Ntoso led the family of the late Nkwanta South DCE Peter Kenyensu to Flagstaff House. The late district chief executive was said to have been shot at close range whilst alighting from his vehicle. 10 people have so far been arrested by the police and are on remand whilst investigations continue. Mr. Kenyensu's family hopes to inter his remains on the 24th of this month. Nana Dokenewu speaks on behalf of the family.
Peter became a victim of circumstances he never understood, and the family members and the members of his traditional area will never understand for generations to come. This is the first time in the history of our beloved Ghana that the sitting chief executive has been murdered in the service.
President Mahama condemned such murder cases, which are becoming one too many. He tasked the police service investigating such cases to be fast and deal with perpetrators of such heinous crimes.
We want to stop this kind of impunity. It's becoming too rampant. And I'm asking the police to investigate and deal very firmly with the perpetrators of these acts. I wish to extend the condolence of government to Mr. Kenyensu and especially to his wife Esther and the children, you know, for this loss. And I wish to assure the family that we are with you in this difficult time and that government will do everything possible to give Mr. Kenyensu a very fitting farewell.
In a related development, a delegation delegation from the Pekki traditional area also called on the president to inform him of the death of the paramount chief Katamantu Kojodei. He died in 2009 at the age of 78. The burial of the late chief has delayed due to some petty squabbles in the town. Katamantu Kojodei was installed as chief of Blengo and paramount chief of Pekki traditional area in 1961. He served in the Gold Coast Army and was awarded the United Nations Military Cross, a medal for being the most dedicated soldier during the peacekeeping operations in the Congo. In 1989, the entire citizens of Pekki and the Traditional Council conferred on Kojodei two titles, Katamantu and Gbedegbleme. These accolades depict his developmental agenda to see the Pekki kingdom transformed. President Mahama was happy that the people of Pekki have buried their differences to allow the late chief to be buried. He said other traditional leaders must learn from this to allow for development in their areas.
His name has been a quite well-known name amongst traditional rulers in the whole of Ghana. And so when he passed away, it was an incident of sadness to all of us. We have felt particularly worried and sad that the funeral not been performed for such a long time. And so government is very happy that the differences that existed have been resolved. And we hope that other traditional areas that have similar issues will take a cue from the people of Pekki and bury the hatchet and make sure that these funerals are performed so that, you know, the proper succession can be put in place.
The funeral of the late Katamantu Kojodei starts from the 20th of next month to March 1.
Pascalina Dadebo reporting.
The United Cadres Front of the NDC UCF says it suspects political sabotage in the recent fire outbreak in Kumasi and Tema. General Secretary of UCF Felix Nyako told Radio Ghana, "It is curious that just a few days after NPP Ashanti Regional Chairman had expressed opposition to installation of prepaid meters in the region, a warehouse where the meters were kept caught fire and burnt all the 25,000 meters worth $2 million. He said government must not rule out anything. He spoke to Wukli Nogu.
We are concerned that every speech, thought and action in this country must be directed towards the development of the country. Now, coming to the fires, the one in Kumasi, before it happened, Chairman Wukimi, the MPP regional chairman, had gone ahead to say that they will resist the fixing of new meters. He said that not that long, the meters got burnt, well over $2 million. Now, we hear them say again that the country will make it ungovernable. Then the MBC comes into office, and then there are a string of markets burning, there are a string of facilities, strategic ones burning, until recently the Tema medical stores. We are inferring that having said that, then we should start looking for the culprit if there is an arson involved. From those who have pronounced that sort of thing.
Mr. Nyako, this is a country which has been so much polarized, and there have been calls for us to try to depoliticize national issues. This attempt you're making, are you not further polarizing the nation, trying to politicize these fires instead of looking for credible causes of the fire? You are trying to politicize it. Is that going to help the cause of the nation?
No, it is not a matter of politicizing issues. This is a matter that has come out because we are inferring that some people decided to make the country ungovernable. Some people said, no, they don't want meters. Now, the next thing after that is that we see people burning. So it is just a matter of politicization.
The head general secretary of United Cadres Run, Felix Nyako, talking to Bukli Nogu.
Meanwhile, the director of communications of the NPP, Nana Kumia, has rubbished claims by the United Cadres Front of a possible political sabotage in the recent fires. According to Nana Kumia, the NPP has nothing to gain by setting fire to national assets and installations.
I don't know why people allow themselves to be so brainwashed. There are so many fires that have happened in the last 4 or 5 years, from the Foreign Affairs Building that was razed to the ground, Central Market in Kumasi, Accra Market at Bobroshi, Malapa, There have been fires all over the place. But after every fire, there is a thorough investigation. They even brought in some America to investigation. So they still have not found the cause of the fire. It is opposition people who are causing the fire. So what is the result of all these investigations that they have done up to today? This one too, there's going to be another investigation. Look, you have your central medical stores. There's no insurance. The people went there, the water hydrants that were there, the water hydrants were blocked. These are the issues that you need to talk about. Which opposition member is going to ban medicine? What is he going to get from it? Even streetlights, when streetlights don't work, they say it's opposition. It's an incredible situation, my brother. Is government serious?
According to the UCF, when I pressed for evidence, that the secretary, for instance, said that the regional chairman of the MPP in Ashanti region led a group to demonstrate against installation of prepaid meters in the region. And just a few days after that, all the meters in the region got bent.
They have arrested some people for these prepaid meters. The prepaid meters, as I understand, were not even supposed to be where they were. That these were public prepaid meters that had been taken away and been hidden somewhere privately. And so they were ECG'ing, how come those prepaid meters left the custody of ECG?
Here's an Akumia on the United Cadet Fund statement.
The General Secretary of the Christian Council of Ghana, Reverend Dr. Puni Frimpong, says religious groups in Ghana must seriously deliberate on how to use religion to facilitate development rather than using it to destroy the nation. Commenting on the Charlie Hebdo incident, Reverend Dr. Puni Frimpong said religion is a sensitive issue, therefore the media must adopt sensitive ways of dealing with matters of faith to avoid any distraction or misunderstanding. He spoke on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News.
If we want religion to facilitate development, we must do anything that will let religion do otherwise. As if to say, whatever we let religion break and stepping straight down our developmental agenda, we must all quickly wrap around and make sure we find some solution to that immediately. Now, religious sensitivity is very crucial. We are one nation that wears many faiths. And this country, the laws of our land, we want people to believe whatever they want to believe, as long as it doesn't destroy and break down our developmental agenda. You know, and therefore, people, especially media, must be very sensitive when it comes to things that people cherish, matters of faith, you know. People attach pride and some level of emotion to their belief system. And therefore, if you ridicule, you know, what people affect the hearts of people, you realize that sometimes it's difficult. Yes, freedom of speech, but we must also respect the limitation. And we must be responsible whenever we talk about freedom of speech, especially when we are getting closer to what affects the heart, the emotions of people. We must always remain civil. It shouldn't happen that because I feel somebody has been sensitive to things I cherish so much, the option left is violent. I think we can use non-violent approach also to solve problems.
Here, yeah, the General Secretary of the Christian Council of Ghana, Reverend Dr. Puni Frimpong.
Meanwhile, the Vicar General of the Techiman Diocese of the Roman Catholic Church, Reverend Father John Techi, has condemned violence in the name of religion. He said freedom of speech should be measured with how religion is criticized. Speaking of Behind the News, Reverend Father Techi said one cannot speak or denigrate other people's religion.
It is the duty of the Pope, so he doesn't matter, it is his duty, it is his job to ensure that we all have peace. If we are living in a world without peace, you cannot be Pope. And so he's not meddling at all, he's simply doing his work as a Pope. Especially when it involves religion, although he's leading the Catholic Church, but the Pope's jurisdiction in terms of religious responsibility as a leader, it covers more than just the Roman Catholic Church, it is the world. Since Jesus came to die for the entire world, all Christians have a responsibility towards the entire world. God so loved the world And so if you are a pope, then your love, like Jesus, is for the world. More specifically to the issue, we all know what happened in Paris and the response that the magazine is supposed to have given in terms of how the Islam has been described, particularly the Prophet Muhammad has been described or in satirical or satirical terms and being ridiculed and so forth. And, you know, with what happened in terms of the violence, the Pope has first and foremost, together with Islamic leaders, made a very clear statement about how it is not right to commit violence in the name of religion.
Vicar General of the Techiman Diocese of the Roman Catholic Church, Reverend Father John Techi.
Meanwhile, Islamic scholar Sheikh Aremeyao Shaibu says Ghanaian journalists must be cautious of what they broadcast and publish. They must help bring Muslims and Christians together, saying Muslims must also learn not to react to anything they hear. Sheikh Aremeyao called for structures to be put in place to help maintain peace within the various religions.
I think that the lesson should go to Muslims, we ourselves, because if by going ahead to perpetrate the violence and killing about 17 people could do anything, I can see a failure here, because now it has rather given encouragement to the magazine company now to print about 5 million and people are still buying in order to provoke Muslims the more. I believe that if we had abandoned the first attempt that they made, probably would have challenged the whole of the world. So I want to talk to Muslims ourselves that we should be careful how we react to some of these provocations. Whilst I condemn in no uncertain terms the provocation, our reaction should not encourage others to think that they see us as intolerant, so they will go ahead and do more and more of that. Ghanaian journalists should be careful in writing their articles. Ghanaian journalists can help us, bring us together, iron out some of the areas of differences that we can handle and handle very well.
Yeah, Islamic scholar Sheikh Aremeyao Shaibu.
So on violence and religion, a Kenyan newspaper has apologized for publishing Charlie Hebdo's cover depicting Prophet Muhammad following an outcry from its Muslim readers. The Star said it sincerely regrets any offense caused by the reproduction of the cover. Meanwhile, a second Kenyan newspaper has published the satirical magazine's cover with an article which said it embodied press freedom. In Senegal, the government has banned the French magazine's distribution. Many Senegalese are Muslims who are likely to welcome the ban. The magazine is being distributed worldwide with a cartoon which shows the Prophet weeping while holding a sign saying, "I am Charlie," and below the headline, "All is forgiven." 12 of its staff were killed last week by militant Islamist gunmen who said they were avenging a 2005 depiction of Prophet Muhammad. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama charges police service to bring perpetrators of murders to book to curb increasing wave. Religious leaders condemn violence in the name of religion. NCCE calls for active participation in district-level elections to entrench grassroots democracy. And Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe maintains he has no intention of retiring as he unveils plans for 91st birthday celebration. Do stay tuned. Welcome back. The chairman of the National Commission for Civic Education, NCCE, Mrs. Charlotte Osei, has bemoaned the low participation in the district-level elections and urged the electorate to this time round go out in their numbers to vote for candidates of their choice. She said last year, for instance, only 18% of registered voters cast their ballots in Greater Accra, which is not good enough. Mrs. Osei was launching in Accra the theme song of the commission for this year's district assembly and unit committee elections. We bring you more.
District level elections, each chair again.
Mrs. Osei said the commission is this time round going all out to whip up the enthusiasm of the electorate to get them to vote in the district assembly elections.
A lot of it still depends on the media. We need more visibility for this election. We're also doing stakeholder for throughout the nation with support from the European Union. In the past, we've been engaging with the candidates, getting them to understand the rules of the elections, the fact that the elections are non-partisan, the fact that they should not use party colors and logos and symbols. We've been working with them on that. We're also going to be doing community engagement with the communities before the elections to make sure that we get people more interested and to get people to participate better in the election.
Mrs. Sose said the district assemblies are for the development of the communities. Therefore, if people want to see development in their areas, they must show more interest and vote for competent people to represent them in the assemblies.
In 1988, when we started the district assembly system, even though it was under a military government, we had higher rate in the high 50s. Subsequent to that, turnout in the district assembly election has not exceeded 30%. And in some cases, in the last one, Greater Accra Region recorded 18%. The apathy we see with the elections is the same apathy we carried through into the whole district governance system. We haven't, as a people, shown significant interest, particularly in the urban areas. We need to stand for the elections, ensure that we vote people into the system who are capable, and we have to recognize that true development and progress is only going to happen in this nation, not at the national level. It has to start at the district level. So if we get more involved and we get more participatory in that governance system, we can turn this nation around.
Mrs. Sose commended the European Union for supporting the Commission in its education drive. An official of the Commonwealth Secretariat, Dr. Roger Pongkwanting, said people voted more when the district level election started then under a military regime than they are doing now under democratic governance. He commended the electorate in the three regions of the north for their large turnout for the district level polls the last time. Dr. Quanting called for support for the NCCE to carry out its constitutional mandate.
That was a report on the launch of the theme song to educate people to vote in the 3rd March district assembly elections.
Two drivers of the 37 local branch of the GPRTU have been sanctioned by the executives for charging the old fares. They were asked to park their vehicles for a day whilst other disciplinary measures are taken. This followed a report by a passenger. The imposition of the sanctions came to light when the Minister of Transport, Mrs. Jifa Tivo, went round to check whether drivers were complying with the directives to reduce fares following the 10% reduction in fuel prices. Mrs. Ativo explains further.
Some of the drivers have refused to reduce the fares, and they always give the excuse that they've not gotten the charge and decided to go around to monitor. And when we got to the 37 stations, they sanctioned two drivers who were not complying with the reduction in fares. That is a good sign. Others, when they hear it, I'm sure they will do the right thing, because I'm not sure they would like to lose their daily wage. When you park your car from morning to evening, it means you are taking nothing home. I want to commend the chairman here for ensuring that law and order prevail. I also want to appeal to all union leaders to ensure that we all comply with rules and regulations. The decision to reduce was taken in consultation with their leadership and Ministry of Transport. And after that, we print it out for them, and they go along to share to their regions and districts and all that.
The chairman of the branch, Kweku Frimpong, confirmed the action.
It's true that we have done it. We have a letter from our regional secretaries on last Saturday. And we will call all the drivers to inform them that from Monday, everybody should go by production of their new fares. And we are complaining. So I was in the meeting at the circle, and they told me that the second person came here for a report. So I give order for them to buy the cars. Now it was around 6 o'clock, I leave the drivers, and then the car will come and plead that they will comply. And we give them warning that if anybody refuses to do that, we send them to police. Normally, if someone have done such like this, we used to buy the car down, invite the car owner, and give the information. So we buy the car, send it off.
That chairman of the 37th branch of the GPRTU, Kweku Frimpong.
The chief executive of the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Authority, Rudolph Beckley, says the authority has stopped issuing roadworthy certificates to vehicles without seat belts since September last year. Addressing a news conference in Accra on the current road safety situation, Mr. Beckley said it is illegal to drive a vehicle without a seatbelt. The DVLA has a policy to import huge quantities of seatbelts and train locals to fix them in vehicles. Enoch Kwe and Selom Tali have more.
Road safety has become an issue of concern to many Ghanaians due to the number of lives that are lost as a result of road accidents. According to the Chief Executive Officer of the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Authority, Rudolph Beckley, road accident is a serious issue that affects all. He indicated that speed, alcohol and drink driving are the major causes of road accidents. He says the use of seatbelts reduces the risk of injury and collision during accidents. He added that the campaign to use seatbelts is to ensure driver and passenger safety.
Every motor vehicle that must come onto the road must have seatbelts fitted in every seat in the car. Now, for us at the licensing authority, the law prescribes that we must lead in that process. So vehicles will periodically come to the licensing authority either for roadworthy assessment or for registration. And at that point, before we deliver the vehicles onto the road, either through a roadworthy means or through vehicle registration, we need to ensure that those seatbelts are in place. We have developed a framework for the fitting of the seatbelt. And the framework is in two phases. The first phase of the framework started way back in 1st of September, where we indicated that any motor vehicle, especially to be used for commercial, that hasn't got seatbelts in any state, must fit seatbelts. So we have never registered any motor vehicle up to today. The second phase is started this March, where motor vehicles already in the system, I'm talking about commercial motor vehicles, will be fitted with the seatbelt. This second phase, the DVLA must do controls and measures. What we have done so far is to identify about 288 garages all over the country, spread in all regions, and training has commenced for this personnel of the garages. Training in what? Training in the fitting of seatbelts, because we want to have local content in fitting of the seatbelts so that we can also retain skills in the fitting of seatbelts. So we have engaged consultants from the manufacturer's company who are in the country training what we call the mechanics in the garages to be able to fit the seatbelts. Once the training part is done, we are going to certify these garages, and these are the garages we are going to use to fit the seatbelts. So we have put all these structures in place to ensure that the fitting process of the seatbelt goes very well.
The Director of Education, Research and Training at the NTTD, DSP Alex Fabin, says ensuring road safety is a collective responsibility. He indicated that in order to reduce the incidence of road accidents, the National Road Safety Commission, in collaboration with the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Authority and the police, has introduced a spot fine ranging from 60 cedis to the withdrawal of driver's license, depending on the number of times a driver offends the law subsequently.
The device that you have designed, when you commit the first offense, should only assign 5 penalty units as a punishment fee, which works into nominal CD terms, 60 grams. And when you commit the second offense, it is again 60 grams. And when you commit the third offense, it is again 60 grams. And Parliament said that beyond that, when you commit the fourth one, you are becoming a repeat offense. So the deterrence should be a bit high. And therefore, it is adjusted to 120 Ghana or 10 penalty. And when you commit the fifth offense, the system gives you 15 penalty units or 180 Ghana cedis. And all these come with an instant issuance of a national receipt designed by the Counter General. And we are given 24 hours, as Parliament said. We are required to go and pay at designated banks and Ghana Post. Beyond the fifth penalty, the system locks on you. But the police officer cannot issue a further spot fine. So obviously, the law says that you are arrested and when you are taken to court, the court also has no option but to sentence you somewhere and your license has to be cancelled.
This year, the commission has its focus on reducing substandard vehicle tires from use.
Enoch Kwe and Salon Sally filed that report.
In foreign news, Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe plans to celebrate his 91st birthday in the resort town of Victoria Falls. The ruling party's Youth League, which announced the said members, have already started raising funds for the party, which traditionally sees thousands of supporters attending. Donors are expected to hand over generous donations this year. The 21st February movement was set up in 1986 to raise money to celebrate the president's birthday each year. The exact amount supporters hope to raise this year has not been stated. Mr. Mugabe told ZANU-PF members at a party congress last month that he had no intention of retiring. And now to end the news, the main points again. President Mahama has tasked the Ghana Police Service to speed up investigations into murder cases and bring perpetrators to book. He said the assassination of innocent persons is becoming too many and the impunity must stop. The president made the call when a delegation from Kwanta called to officially inform him of the death and burial of the murdered in Kwanta South District Chief Executive Peter Kenyenso. And religious leaders have condemned violence carried out in the name of religion. They have also called on the media to be cautious in their publications, adding that there must be structures to maintain peace within religions. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Samuel Essa in Accra.